If you love Christmas, then all your Christmases have come at once.
Ho, 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 Merry Christmas!
This is Christmas Podding, the podcast dedicated to all things Christmas.
Hi.
Who is it?
It's Carol Singers.
This is Christmas Podding's 12 Days of Christmas Podcasts, a podcast every day from now till Christmas Day.
Good King Wenceslas, look out.
Now, here's your hosts, Ness Gibson and Liam Renton.
Well, hi everyone, thanks for joining us and welcome along to Christmas Podding as we do the 12 Days of Christmas podcast, a podcast every day between now and Christmas Day. If you're new to the podcast, welcome. Our names are Liam and Ness. We talk all things Christmas pretty much all year round. Merry Christmas, Vanessa.
Merry Christmas. How exciting is this week? We are just right in the swing of
it. My favourite week of the year. Nothing can put me in a bad mood this week. We've got lots to talk about on today's show. What presents not to buy your partner? Coming up, the ones that cause instant arguments.
Good to know.
So you'll want to know this.
This is useful.
If you don't want any fights on Christmas Day, and who does get the most presents around town? The stats have been broken down into rank order of brothers and sisters. So is you're the youngest of four.
I am, yes. You're the
eldest of three. So who gets the most? You might be surprised. I mean, everyone knows the eldest child is always the favourite child.
Oh, here we go.
We'll let you know a little later on the podcast. Let's start with the ultimate Christmas gift. A day off from the world. Imagine spending Christmas Day on your own. Now, to most, that would be a horrible thought. I can't be alone on Christmas Day. I've got to, you know, be with family and friends. But some people are going to be alone this year, through no fault of their own. Does it sound like a good idea to you to be alone on Christmas Day?
Okay, I can definitely use a day alone and a day off from the world. Absolutely. Like, that does sound like bliss to me, like just my own schedule, nowhere to be, nothing to do, nobody annoying me, just me and a book. Like, I love the sound of that. But Christmas Day, no way.
Well, the experts are saying if you do find yourself alone on Christmas Day, here's why giving yourself a day off from the world could be the best thing you could do. Imagine this, Christmas morning, you get to sleep in. It's usually the earliest day of the year to be woken up. Pre-5 o'clock in most families. A day to sleep in. A long, pampered shower or bath, uninterrupted. I could do it.
Sounds nice.
I often take Netflix into the bathroom and I'll watch a show for 90 minutes. So if I'm going to have a bath.
90 minutes?
I'll have a 90-minute bath.
You must be so wrinkly.
Well, no more wrinkly than I normally.
You are getting of age.
I've got nice oily skin, so you know, it doesn't bother me. So a nice 90-minute bath or watch your favourite show. Imagine a nice plate of food selected by you, no one picking over the food. Maybe a Skype phone call to a couple of friends, you know, like a video call. Good or bad idea?
Would you do it?
Oh, I can't do it. I've got kids.
Yeah.
So unless I was a FIFO worker or I had to do it, you know, I was trapped into state or COVID restrictions. If I had to, I would definitely enjoy it.
I just think any other day of the year absolutely sounds like bliss. But, on Christmas Day, I just could not imagine having a day alone. You know what, though? There'll be people this year in hotel quarantine.
Yeah, my cousin's going to be in hotel quarantine on Christmas Day. He flies back into Australia on the 18th, gets out on about the 1st or something like that.
That sounds like the worst to me.
But
like,
couldn't. You got to do what you got to do.
Yeah.
If you can't avoid it, I guess they're saying, hey, look on the positives, ring as many friends as you can on FaceTime.
Yeah.
I think it's like there's steps for Christmas Day. All right, we'll start with family. Can I spend time with family? No. At least then try and grab a couple, you know, rustle some friends together.
Yeah.
Because, birds of a feather, there's usually like-minded friends that are alone as well. Get together and do Christmas together.
And even the next tier out, I've seen on the local community Facebook group, people in the lead up to Christmas saying, hey, if anyone's going to be by themselves or if anyone was meant to be going overseas to spend it with family and you're here alone, like our door is open, come and join our table. I think that is just such a beautiful gesture.
It's not ideal. But someone who wrote this list is obviously alone on Christmas Day and they've tried to, you know, turn this into a real positive. It does sound great. It's not for me. Yeah. I think I enjoy spending that time with family almost as much as I enjoy it when they leave on Christmas afternoon. Yeah. You know that feeling when they've gone?
Oh, yeah.
And the door closes?
Yeah.
And you can just go,
go
to the fridge.
Lie on the lounge.
With a leg of ham.
Yeah.
No judgment. Yeah. No judgment.
No judgment here. No.
If you are alone on Christmas Day, there are plenty of options. And try watching a show in the bath. 90 minutes in the bath.
Do you have like a stand that you put your phone or iPad on?
Absolutely.
Okay.
I'm not dropping it in the bath.
Yeah, well, I was going to say it's danger.
It is, like, it is dangerous.
It is dangerous. Danger.
Something I'm, a risk I'm prepared to take.
Wow.
Now, coming up next, that present to buy your partner that's going to cause an instant argument. When I saw this, I thought, oh, you know, I was thinking of that. Yeah, no, I won't buy that this
okay.
year.
So, avoid.
How to avoid fights on Christmas Day with your loved ones. We'll find out on Christmas Podding up next.
You're listening to Christmas Podding, a podcast all about Christmas with your hosts, Ness Gibson and Liam Renton.
This is Christmas Podding. Our names are Liam and Ness. Hey, we talk all things Christmas. It's our 12 Days of Christmas podcast. We're doing a podcast every day between now and Christmas Day. Now, we know the last thing you want on Christmas Day is an argument. And the day is just full of them. The tensions are high, that especially in the Southern Hemisphere. It's very hot where we are right now. Mixed with that, a hot oven in a kitchen.
I know. Sadly, it does somehow present a combination of scenarios that does often lead to tension.
Look, there are some things you can do to alleviate that. So we'll start with gifts, instant gifts that start arguments. So this is a list that's come together where, you know, the experts have said, hey, by the way, if you buy this, chances of having a fight are pretty high. We'll start with inappropriate underwear.
Okay.
I don't really know what that looks like. I've been wearing the 7-pack for years, you know, the standard pack. So I don't know what inappropriate underwear looks like. I'm assuming most men don't, which is why they get into trouble. But no one wants to be giving or receiving that on Christmas Day.
Yeah, I guess, is there a bit of awkwardness there? Like, what if your whole family's together, your aunties and uncles, your parents, your grandma, the kids, and, yeah, there's some saucy underwear under the tree.
It's a very personal gift.
Awkward.
I don't want someone choosing my undies. I'd rather buy, even if they're not inappropriate, I'd just rather buy my own.
Yeah, so let's avoid that.
Buying an iron, it's the most hated appliance to receive on Christmas Day. I think it's a very inappropriate gift for
Christmas
Day.
Agreed. I would not be happy with an iron for Christmas Day.
Now, this one actually turned my head because they're saying magazine subscriptions just reek of, I didn't know what else to buy you. I wouldn't say no to a Rolling Stone magazine subscription. I think there's something in there. I mean, if it was a, you know, Australian Geographic or a Woman's Weekly, I'd be like, oh, great. I get one of those every month.
Yeah, I think you're right. I've received magazine subscriptions before and enjoyed them thoroughly.
Have you?
Yep. Like the cooking magazine, what was it called? Real Living or something. It was a home decorating kind of magazine, which I loved. So I just think it does depend on your target audience.
I'd put magazine subscription up there with a gift card.
Yeah.
I didn't put in the extra effort. Or think of it this way. Here's something you wouldn't normally buy yourself, so I'm going to buy it for you.
That's right. I would never pay money for a magazine. Like, I never buy magazines, but I'd be happy to receive it.
It's on the argument list. Practical gifts are there as well. So kitchen appliances, electric blankets, a bit like the iron. Anything that you were going to use anyway comes under the argument
I did
list.
Receive several years ago now, my husband gave me a blender for Christmas.
Did he?
But I wanted one and it was a really nice one. It was a great present. We used it straight away. And since then, really, we've had a bit of a thing of smoothies on Christmas morning.
As a
because
result.
It started that. And I wasn't offended by that, but there'd probably be people out there who would be.
You've bought practical gifts before. You bought your husband a whippersnipper once.
You really had to bring that
but
up.
But you've done that. That's something he would have used anyway.
Yes, I did.
What made you think about it as a gift as opposed to, we need it, go and buy it?
It was just an idea. Like, it was not something he was going to go out and just buy on a whim. Mm. It was more something he was like, oh, look, it's not essential at the moment, so let's just wait. And then I was like, oh, that's a good idea. Yeah.
Nothing says passive aggressive more than, I'm not happy with the way you're doing the yard, so I'm going to buy you a yard appliance to shape you into gear and go and fix the yard.
That wasn't the intention of the gift. However, you obviously read it that way, but it's
couldn't you see,
not your...
People can read it like that, though.
Yeah, but it wasn't your present, so I don't care what you think.
You're just on the list. Wow. Anyway, coming up next, why you should be looking forward to your kids growing up. We've always loved the fact that our kids are young. Our kids are under 12 and we just love the fact that they're still kids. Oh no, the older they get, apparently the better Christmas gets. We'll find out how up next.
We're talking all things Christmas. You've downloaded Christmas Podding, a podcast that celebrates Christmas with your hosts, Ness Gibson and Liam Renton.
This is Christmas Podding. Our names are Liam and Ness. Look, we do talk all things Christmas. We're back on track. Thanks for joining us. Thanks for hanging with us too. 12 Days of Christmas Podcast. Why you should be looking forward to your kids becoming adults. Some of my greatest memories over the last decade have been Christmases with our kids. We film a lot of it every year on their video camera, which we whack on the hard drive. We're often watching back the Christmas of 2013 or the Christmas of 2017. It's so beautiful when they're young. But older people, when I say, you know, people our parents' age are saying Christmas is so much better the older they get.
Mm-hmm.
Let me run you through why. Better gifts.
Sure. Yep. When your children become financially independent.
Gifts from your kids are never great.
No.
They're just token. They're token gifts.
I mean, that's where you're going to get your novelty gifts or your under $10.
It's not, usually not, unless it's something they make, and that's always nice.
Yeah.
But, you know, if they're just going to the $2 shop and buying you something for the sake of it, you can drink together. Christmas drinkies with the kids.
Yeah.
I wouldn't even know what that's like.
Open a bottle of bubbly.
Or with your daughter.
Enjoy.
Yeah. They invite you over as opposed to you doing all the work. You've been hosting Christmas at your house for years now.
Yeah, but not every year, but yeah, Mum has, like, certainly this year she was like, yep, it's all yours. I was like, great.
Does it ever go back to, you got this four daughters in your family, does it ever go back to your mum's where everyone?
Yes. Yeah,
is it like a rotation or how's it work?
Oh, look, it's very sporadic in my family. Like, one sister lives in a unit where it wouldn't be big enough to host everyone, and the other two sisters live interstate, and so it just depends on what everyone's plans are.
Apparently, with the kids getting older, they bring a new spice to Christmas every year, depending on who they bring with them. They might bring a new boyfriend or girlfriend. Someone marries into the family. There's a cousin, you know, from overseas on the other side of the, you know, on your husband's side who you haven't met before, and all of a sudden you're bringing new people into the family. That's the part I like the most.
Yeah, that's actually really cool, isn't it? I mean, as long as it's someone who's not a Grinch or someone who's not a total weirdo who comes and ruins Christmas. But look, I think I really agree with this list too. I mean, there is a magic and a wonder of the kids being young, but absolutely, I think give it another 10 years for us and we'll be in that scenario.
I think it goes in waves. When they're younger, they want to be with you for Christmas. Then they're teens, they want to be anywhere but.
Yeah.
And then once they hit their 20s, it's like, we're going home to spend Christmas with mum and dad.
And then can you imagine, like, I can't even imagine this, but when it comes around again and our kids have kids, then it'll just be like, oh, it's awesome having kids around at Christmas again. Like, it's the circle of life.
Circle of life.
So good.
Coming up next, who gets the most presents at Christmas? You might be surprised. It's usually like one of the birth order kids. So it's either the eldest, the middle, or the youngest. I'm the eldest of three. You're the youngest of four.
Yep.
Who gets the most presents? We'll find out next on Christmas Podding.
The most wonderful time of the year starts with a Christmas podcast. You're listening to Christmas Podding, a podcast where Christmas calls home with your hosts, Ness Gibson and Liam Renton.
This is Christmas Podding. Our names are Liam and Ness. Look, we talk all things Christmas, our 12 Days of Christmas podcast. And don't go anywhere because we're wrapping it up with a tune of our own. We love singing our own Christmas songs to put a little bit of a razzle-dazzle on the podcast in just a couple of minutes. Who does get the most presents on Christmas Day? Is it the favourite child? I've always said that the eldest is often more favoured, more loved, gets the most.
No, but the youngest is always the favourite.
I don't think they are.
Yeah, I do.
As I remind my younger brother and sister, I've known Mum longer than you.
I
remember the days before you were here. Oh, I say this to my brother and sister. Yeah. Oh, we used to have so much fun when it was just the three of us.
As if you remember.
When it was, I was
80, you were one.
18 months old. Yeah. When it was me, Mum and Dad, we used to run this joint. We had so much fun and we used to do a lot more fun than when you came along.
Whatever.
Yeah, I'm wrong. It's not the eldest. The eldest doesn't get the most presents. Stats show over time, the youngest has traditionally got the most presents.
Oh, look, I have to say I fully endorse this study.
Do you agree, though?
Like, I think that the youngest should, because we get just forgotten in other ways.
How?
Well, you know, by the time the fourth child comes along, the parents are just like, oh, yeah, whatever. Oh, nah, you don't need to go and do that, or, you know, the hand-me-down clothes, for example, like, never get your own new clothes, get your own room.
You've got sisters who've had amazing wardrobes over the years. Oh, I can't wait till I fit into that.
Yeah, you know, that's a factor, but, you know, I think we do often get the raw end of the deal, so fair enough that Christmas makes up for it.
I've got a term for it.
Yep.
It's the pity present, I reckon, because you're the youngest. Imagine being
an oldest would call it that.
Imagine being the youngest. I couldn't think of anywhere worse to be in
it's
the birth
the
order.
Best.
That's not true.
Is the worst.
Middle be the worst.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But even worse, not just the middle, the third from the bottom. So you got four.
Yeah.
So the one just
There's
above
two
you.
Two middles. Yeah.
Like even that.
I know. But I have to say, in our household, like, you and I both have a youngest and an oldest, having two kids. like, you make a point that they have exactly the same number of presents. Like,
yeah, count
we
it
would
out.
Never have a known discrepancy of, like, one child's got 10 presents and one child only has two, or, you know, in terms of value as well. It's not like one child's going to get a massive trampoline and the other one's going to get a handball.
How does it even work? Because you're right. The kids count. I got five things. I got five things, of course, because mum and dad counted everything.
I know.
Out.
We always just have equivalents for them.
I don't know how it works. Maybe when everyone leaves. So you had how many years at home on your own? Did you have any? Was your other sister always there?
No, yeah. There was always another sister there.
See, there's flaws in this logic. But apparently it's true. So big smiles all around. If you're one of the youngest, you're in for a bumper year. If you're the eldest like me, you're rolling your eyes like, of course she's going to get more presents. She's the youngest. That's how it rolls. But you get more presents because they love the eldest more. That's how it works.
Come on, look. The oldest is always a bit bitter about it, you know.
I tell my youngest brother and sister, mum told me she loves me more.
We all say that. That's not exclusive to you. Do you tell your kids individually that they're your favourite?
No, I don't play favourites. Do you tell your kids that?
Yeah.
I
say you're my favourite right now.
No, like, I would never do that.
Yeah, I do.
So you tell them both.
Yeah.
So they both think they're
exactly. They take it in turns.
Yeah, so when you're long gone, they'll be like, mum told me. She told me that too.
That's right.
Well, she was lying to
or
you.
Or I just say, oh, you're my favourite daughter.
No.
I've got two daughters. I know. And they're just like, oh, yes, mum said that.
What are the best ways to give back at Christmas time? We'll throw you some ideas next. So it's not just about you or getting the presents. How you can give back for Christmas 2020. Up next on Christmas Podding.
You're listening to Christmas Podding, a podcast all about Christmas with your hosts, Ness Gibson and Liam Renton.
Available now, just in time for Christmas. It's Christmas Podding's podcast playlist. Liam and Ness's ultimate list of Christmas classics like this.
Oh, yeah. Candles burning low.
Festive bays like this.
You're listening to Christmas Podding, a podcast all about Christmas, with your hosts, Ness Gibson and Liam Renton.
This is Christmas Podding. Our names are Liam and Ness. We'll wrap it up real soon. A mailbag on the way. What you've been saying about Australia's only Christmas podcast. Ways to give back this Christmas. There's plenty you can do. Don't let it. And this is the year you want to give back because it's been a rough year for most people. If you are in a position to give back, please do. We've just come up with a couple of top things on how you can give back this year.
Look, any shopping centre you go to, and especially some of the big department stores, do the whole donate a present under the tree. So when you are in these last few days of Christmas shopping, just putting another toy in the shopping trolley and wrapping it up, you put it to that donation and that's, you know, going to go to a child in need, which is amazing. Yeah. Now, the other thing that is really awesome is the local charities. So these are often at community centres or the local group who feed the homeless and they often do the big Christmas lunch for people who are homeless, people who are alone, people who just otherwise could not afford a Christmas. I know there's an amazing local charity in my area who do it. And every year, I think one year, I want to go and help serve the lunch, you know, and I just haven't done it yet and I want to one year, but you know, that I think would just be an incredible perspective, something amazing to do and just to really give back.
Best way to do it though, and you have all the best intentions of going and help, if you can't, just give cash.
Yep.
Let me feed a couple of people instead.
Absolutely.
I'd rather
and
that,
those charities as well do always give gifts as well on the day of the lunch, so they are always looking for donations for people of all ages, kids right up to grandparents. If you can go and donate a gift to them, a gift card, or as you said, cash, that'll go a really long way. A
couple of ideas to give back to your community. Go and see a Christmas lights display. So as someone that has done lights on a mass scale for years, I love it when people stop outside my house.
Yeah.
I'm not out there having a chat to them, but I love it when they slow their car down. I love the beeps. I love the laughs of the kids. So please, if you see someone with lights, go and appreciate the work, because it takes, I mean, you've done it this year.
Yeah.
It took us days to get our lights up, you know.
I never knew how long it took.
So just go and say, even if you say hi over the fence or say thanks very much, go and check out some lights, because we love it when you go and see our displays. And don't forget about your neighbours this year as well. So, you know, a packet of nuts, a bottle of wine over the fence. It's good to have good neighbours. You know, I've been hiding Christmas gifts in my neighbour's shed for the last month, so he'll be getting a nice bottle.
That's a great neighbour.
Nice bottle of thanks for, yes, for hiding my gifts away from my kids' prying eyes.
Definitely. So. I think another way that is really great to give back this year is to shop local. And just to shop at a small business, yeah, a family business, someone who might have actually done it really tough, like just at a time when you might have just gone to a major department store or supermarket, just go, okay, no, this present, I'm going to go and support the local business who are a family, and just get behind them.
Plenty of ways to give back. We are going to wrap it up in just a second. Your mailbag up next on Christmas Podding.
We're talking all things Christmas. You've downloaded Christmas Podding, a podcast that celebrates Christmas, with your hosts, Ness Gibson and Liam Renton.
This is Christmas Podding. Our names are Liam and Ness. Hey, we're going to wrap it up in just a second with a song of our own, a nice little Chrissy tune to wrap up one of the 12 Days of Christmas podcast. Before we get there, thanks for getting in touch with us. Mailbag time. What's people been saying?
Okay, Sarah has gotten in touch. Thank you, Sarah. It was lovely to hear from you. And she's posed a bit of a question or a bit of a Christmas dilemma where she says, I've offered to host my partner's family for the first time this year. Now, in my family, we all bring something along. In my partner's family, they expect the host, the expectation is that the host does everything, and she's freaking out about it a little bit and says, what's the etiquette here? Should I be demanding that they bring something, or do I just do it all? Like, she's just a little confused by this clash of culture, because the way you grew up, you know, really does then tend to, you know, that sets your thinking for yourself.
Two things, Sarah. It's easy to ask. Flick around a text saying, hey, just organising Christmas now. I'm going to send you individual texts on what you can do to bring to help out. People aren't offended by that. But secondly, enjoy controlling it yourself. I love controlling the narrative on Christmas Day.
Yeah.
You get to pick all the food. No one can complain if they don't bring anything along. So if nothing else, they can bring the drinks. That's easy to ask someone.
Yeah.
But just enjoy having total control over the menu, the place settings. Like, that's your time to shine, Sarah. Enjoy it.
Yeah, I do think, you know, most people would ask the question. You'd think for Christmas Day and just say, is there anything I can bring? And then even if you are controlling the narrative still and going, yes, I want this specific salad recipe, send them the recipe. You know, you can do that. What I did one year was, and my family kind of suggested this, but I'd been to a gourmet Christmas cooking class, which was so fun. And I had this amazing menu that I had, you know, learnt how to cook, and it was beautiful. But it was quite gourmet ingredients. You know, we're talking duck breast, and we had this beautiful antipasto salad, and, you know, prawns as well on the menu. And I said to my family, I'd love to do this menu for you. And they said, how about we just pitch in some cash? And so I bought the ingredients, they came along, and we all cooked it together. And then they were like, oh, here's $30 for the ingredients. And like, I actually loved that because I was able to put on that whole spread. It all just worked beautifully together, and they were happy to pitch in. So I don't know.
I don't know what the rule is.
Now, also a great message from Jenny. She said, I'm listening from Yeppoon. So good to see her up
far
in
North Queensland.
North Queensland. Central.
It's at the base of FNQ.
No.
Yeah, it
central.
Is. I'd call it far North.
I'd call it central.
Anyway, I'd call it Jenny's letter.
Jenny, thank you for writing in. She says she loves the podcast, loves the Christmas tips, and having a laugh along the way. So Merry Christmas
to you, Jenny.
A
couple more to go before we get to Christmas Day, our 12 Days of Christmas podcast. Let's wrap it up now with one of our own. This is us. We're singing out the show. As we like to say, it's never too early.
Never too late.
To wish someone a Merry Christmas.
Just hear those sleigh bells jingling, ring-ting-tingling too. Come on, it's lovely weather for a sleigh ride together with you. Outside the snow is falling and friends are calling, yoo-hoo! Come on, it's lovely weather for a sleigh ride together with you. Cheeks are nice and rosy and comfy cozy are we.
We're snuggled up together like two birds of a feather would be. Let's take the road before us and sing a chorus or two. Come on, it's lovely weather for a sleigh ride together with you. Cheeks are nice and rosy and comfy cozy are we. We're snuggled up together like two birds of a feather would be. Let's take the road before us and sing a chorus or two. Come on, it's lovely weather for a sleigh ride together with you.
I feel like my mic's making noises. Is that just me or can you hear that?
I haven't really noticed.
1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2.
Testing.
I feel like I'm popping in this microphone. Pop, pop. Oh, well.
Yeah, but it wasn't your present, so I don't care what
you think. You're just on the list. Wow. Settle down, tinsel.
Is that your saying?
I've been waiting to use it. What do you reckon? Good one?
No. I thought this was a family podcast.
It is. There you go. Wow. It was the perfect place to drop it in.
It was, actually. Yeah. It was.
I've been sitting on it for three episodes.
It was well used. The timing was good, but it was slightly inappropriate.
Absolutely. I apologise for that. Yeah. But I reckon there'd be a lot of people laughing at home. I was actually thinking last night, I have to wait for her to get riled up. I'll wait for her to get mad. How can I bait her into it? Now I've got nothing for this. Do you want to throw something out?
Yep.
Okay.